Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
312-644-6767 is the number. LaGrange and John. Hey, John, you're on the Score.
Hey, hello, guys. I'm curious about the penalty and, like, what Patrick Donnelly had to say about it.
John, are you from Canada?
I've been told that a lot.
Well,
I travel a lot.
He's half French-Canadian. Apple.
All right, Tony. Make fun of a boy because of his name.
I wonder what's French-Canadian for. I grew up without a mother. Sacre bleu, where is
mi mama? Okay.
I travel a lot.
Well,
spend
John,
a lot of time,
it's because you say words weird.
You said a
boot. I do say words.
Yeah.
I've been told that a lot.
I moved here from Canada, and they think I'm slow, eh?
So, clarification on the rule. I did talk to Patrick this morning, post the post game yesterday, after he got to look at it a couple more times, and he said that the technical rule is within 1 second, you can't touch the snapper. So, he thinks they didn't touch him during that 1 second, and then also, the Packers defensive line, their first step was lateral, and it only applies if their first step is forward. What he has a problem with is the linebacker or the safety, whomever it was, in the back of the defensive line was pushing pressure forward. That's where the flag should have been, not the pressure on Scott Davis.
That's good stuff. I'm so glad you followed up about this. So glad you did that.
I'm curious about...
So sorry, Scott, but that was a weird thing to say.
And a weird way to say it.
You should have said a boot.
He's not Canadian.
Thanks for your call, buddy.
If you don't stand with your fellow Canadians, then you are a rat.
Don't call me a rat, buddy.
I'm not your buddy, friend. He's not your friend, guy. I'm not your guy, buddy.
He's not your buddy, friend.
I'm not your friend, guy.
Yeah, let's give it up, guy.
Don't call me your guy. I am not your guy, friend.
I'm curious about...
The official adventures of...
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome into Spiegel and Holmes. That man is Matt Spiegel. I am Lawrence Holmes. You've got Chris Tannehill, Shane Reardon, and we've got you for the next 4 hours. Lance Briggs is going to be on the show at 3 o'clock. Jason Leisure is going to be on the show at 4 o'clock. There's a lot of Bears conversation for us to have. There's some stuff that we need to go back over. We've got baseball stuff to talk about as well, because we're getting ourselves ready to have to talk about baseball more.
Well, it's here. Hot stove is here. You got all sorts of teams out there meeting with Juan Soto, some genuinely interested, some trying to hoodwink their fan bases with the fake interest. Let's discuss where the Cubs fall on that scale at some point.
Speaks. Wait, just take a minute. Yeah. Take a minute. Take a minute, my brother.
I feel it. I feel it. I see it and I feel it.
The sun.
Yeah, I'm going to go in there.
Yeah, get in there.
Oh,
get
lovely.
Some of that. That
it's
feels
lovely.
Great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hold on to that. It's been absent. It was part of my sadness and my malaise, my Bears malaise that lingered from the end of that game Sunday. And then when the nice weather on Sunday went away and yesterday just sucked.
It's just raw.
Oh, and the whole thing just sucked all day yesterday. And now you want to start there. Which is like, I question
that. We agreed as a show.
Yeah, I question your judgment still. I mean, I do it a lot. But in this spot, really, I'm genuinely questioning your judgment. Go ahead. Go ahead. Start there. Go ahead.
Here's what we wanted to get into. Look, you and I personally, I've been saying to you, Speaks, the season's going to be over at Thanksgiving. So we're about a week away from that being the case because there were three division games in 11 days.
Yeah.
The Bears weren't going very well. Then there's this spasm of competency, maybe even excellence.
Yeah, I would call it excellence against terrible teams.
Well, I'm saying on Sunday, where on Sunday you go, look at this. This might work. Here's something to take a look at and say, hey, there's something to build on and to grow on from here. I still feel that way, by the way. But then you start looking at the math.
Because they lost that game.
Because they lost that game and because they lost the game the week before.
When you're 4-6 at this point, it's really easy for people to look at the NFC playoff picture and see that you are behind four different teams just in the hunt section.
No, Speaks, you notice they're calling it in the mix now. Did you see that on NBC? It's in the mix,
I didn't.
Which I like.
With Rick Party?
I didn't see that. I thought it was in the hunt. NFL.com calls it on the bubble.
Ooh.
I know.
I thought that was a show that they did that Kyle Brandt hosts.
He's got a new show, by the way. Did you see his show that he's pitching now?
No.
The new show he's got. This is a real show. He is the co-host of Human versus Hamster. It's coming to...
I don't believe you.
It is absolutely a new show. It's coming on Thursday to Max, and me and Ruben are in.
Shane, can we talk with Kyle Brandt?
See if
he famously doesn't do podcasts anymore.
Stevenson High School's own Kyle Brandt?
We're not a podcast, Shane. We're Big Time Radio.
I know, but it's what he said. He doesn't do it anymore. I can try.
Tell him all we want to talk about is Human versus Hamster.
Tell him that we want to talk about his time at Stevenson and Lauren Jiggetts being there at the same time because he was a big fan of Dan Jiggetts.
But I'm going to text him right now.
But mostly Human versus Hamster.
And we'll promote Human versus Hamster.
They have like hamster-sized events and then human-sized versions of the hamster events. And you find out whether a human is better than a hamster.
I want to know about taking a bump from Kurt Angle, too, if you saw that video.
Oh, yeah. We should ask him about... There's a lot of stuff we can ask Kyle. We can talk angry runs. He's very mad at the Bears right now, too, which is why it makes sense. And apparently Human versus Hamster is an actual show.
It's a real
thing. Going to host, good for him.
Yeah, but so they're 4-6, and if they'd won, the Hail Mary game and the blocked field goal game, you'd be 6-4, and you would be number one on the bubble.
Let me tell you something. Point.
You might even actually be in at 6-4. You'd probably be in over the Falcons.
Speaks.
Yo,
had they just won the Patriots game, even that loss on Sunday doesn't feel as defeating as it is. Like, if they're 5-5, if they're sitting here at 5-5, you go, hey, they fired the guy that they needed to fire, and things got better. They played the Packers basically to a stalemate until the end. You could get excited about Sunday's game.
So, but they've lost four in a row, and I got people telling me the season is over. Are you hearing that? Are you feeling that in terms of season being over?
Yeah. Yeah.
Define over. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Forget it. He's rolling. Here's my thing. Does that now mean, though, that the season is only about development of Caleb Williams? Because that's kind of the comfortable fallback position of every Bears fan. Because over the last 2 years, it's like, well, just wait until that 2024 draft. The Bears are going to get Caleb Williams. Everything should be made so that they maximize Caleb Williams. So now you end up in a place where you have to kind of live in that space.
We've done it. We did it for years, man. We've done it so many freaking times. I literally charted moral victories. On Bears Mondays, I would sit here and say, did they achieve 2 out of 3 of these objectives? Well, that counts as a moral victory. And I forget, I think the Bears were like 9-6 in moral victories at one point. And there was more games than that, of course. But yeah, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to live in that freaking space.
I don't either, Speaks. I think that it's a really rough place for, like, the way that fans then kind of rationalize the moves that a franchise is making And it's not just the Bears. This has gone on. Like, this guy is texting me about Austin Slater. Get out of here about Austin Slater. Get out of here about that. Like, that's you falling for the banana in the tailpipe yet again. Well, he's a really good fourth outfielder. He's a really good. No, he had 209 and was a 73 OPS plus last year.
That's a good replication of his tone in that text. I think it's exactly what he sounds like.
I mean, come on.
Sorry, sir.
But we all live, like, we're living in this space of you have to then hope that the organization sees things as clear-eyed as the fan does when it comes to, well, maybe if they just got this right,
well,
then maybe it'll all be worthwhile.
What goes along with that is rooting for losses. What goes along with that is rooting for losses because you just want to make sure, like, you want the full moral victory thing. You want to make sure that the draft pick is better and that they don't get hoodwinked into thinking the coach has found something here.
You have fallen into my spider trap, sir, because you, sir, are going to be rooting for losses. And you want to know why you're going to be?
I don't think I'm going to be.
Oh, I think you are.
No.
Tanny, can we play what Dave Wanstead said about what happens if the Bears do win a few of these games?
I still come back to that if Caleb can play the remainder of the season and make some headway from how he played Sunday. And how many games we got left? Nine?
No, seven.
Seven games. Okay, if we can win three or four.
They're not going to the playoffs.
Okay, we're not going to the playoffs. But if we could win, let's be optimistic. Let's say we won four, okay? You know, now we're going to sit there at eight, and Caleb made headway. I think Flus comes back.
Wow.
I really do.
Let's revisit that one.
Okay, we can revisit all we want. I'm just.
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
All right, I don't believe Dave because I don't want to believe Dave. I'm choosing not to believe Dave. And I love Dave. I think he says a lot of really good things, and he's plugged in and he knows stuff. But no way in hell. And we'll talk to him on Thursday when we get the more valuable afternoon Wani. Morning Wani's delightful, but I choose afternoon Wani on Thursdays. There's no way in hell, man. Flus is a dead man walking.
You sure?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I said hopefully. Absolutely.
They win four games and Caleb plays like he played on Sunday.
Uh-huh. Then that's good. That's good for Thomas Brown. And then you hold on to Thomas Brown.
No, you don't.
And you bring in another coach with Thomas Brown.
I guess you could probably get away with that if you were to hire, like, Cliff Kingsbury. You know what I mean? Because, like, Cliff would be like, oh, you worked really well with the quarterback. You're going to be the offensive coordinator, but we all know that I'm calling them.
Well, yeah, but that's good because then Thomas Brown can be the bad cop, which he seems to be suited to, and you could bring in, if you really wanted to bring in a good cop, you could. I mean, it's not ideal, obviously, because it doesn't give you the synergy and the cleanliness of a full-on hire, but it does open it back up. Let's say that Thomas Brown and Caleb really continue to click and you got something and you want to stay there, then maybe you do just want to bring in an ass kicker and not worry about what side of the ball that he's on. Maybe you want to go to Mike Vrabel and you want to go that route. And you know you've got a leader and you know you've got a defensive-minded guy and a true, genuine communicator and culture guy.
Or maybe Caleb calls Lincoln Riley. Hey, I see things aren't going very well at USC. Hey, I see things aren't going very well with the NCAA.
They talked to him this week, didn't they?
Yeah. I don't know if I like it.
Did Caleb call him or did he call Caleb?
He said that he called him and he's like, no, he called me. But I get it. If you're Caleb, you're like, help! Somebody please help me!
See, I thought that Lincoln called him because Caleb was so bad and things were so terrible and there were rumors of a benching and all that.
I'll just throw this out there. You look at their schedule. If they lose three of the next four games, you will hear Lincoln Riley rumors.
Oh, God.
God. Don't you hate it here? You hate it here, don't you?
Would anybody like to take a guess? Who represents Lincoln Riley?
Is it Trace Armstrong?
You nailed it, Shane! You freaking nailed it.
Right. You're right.
I'll just throw this out there.
Yeah. I'll just throw this out there. That's Colin Cowherd's entire career.
Wait.
Right there.
Is Colin represented by Trace Armstrong?
Is that a connection we haven't made yet?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Is he, Trace is...
I don't know how many broadcasters Trace and Athletes First does. Trace is part of...
I imagine Colin's a CAA guy. He's probably a CAA. He's huge in the business, so...
God.
What if we found that out?
We don't need to find this out.
What if Trace Armstrong's my agent?
I would you read Colin's autobiography, which is called... I'll just throw this out there. Would you guys read that book?
I'll just throw this out there.
Sure.
By Colin Cowherd.
Why not?
I'm good on it.
No?
No, I'm all right. I'm good. I don't need that.
Well, I know that you hate it here, and I'm sorry that we have to live here for a while.
The reason is I already read Jay Mariotti's book about 20 years ago, so why would I need to read Colin's?
Who's that? When we come back,
that's a fair question, actually.
We will talk a little bit about the idea of Caleb being coached by other people. Now, next on The Score.
No one. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Him, you know, knowing how much he loves football, it just brings, you know, brings joy to his players and things like that. So I've texted him back and forth every once in a while, like, you know, great game, this and that, and he's done the same. So it's, you know, been cool building that relationship with him in college, and then obviously being a pro, about to go play against him.
So that's from a few weeks ago in advance of the Washington game. Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator in Washington, talking about Caleb and vice versa. And they've still been in touch. Last year, for 1 year, Cliff Kingsbury was an analyst on the offensive staff at USC with Lincoln Riley. He wasn't the OC. He wasn't the quarterback coach. He was an extra guy. You know, like sometimes when Brad Childress was hanging around with Matt Nagy, or Mark Helfrich hanging around again with Matt Nagy. Like, you know, like people can hang around an offensive staff and be part of it. But he and Caleb had a relationship and still do.
We want to talk a little bit more about that. But before we do that, you know that we're giving away Rod Stewart but a chance to go see Rod Stewart with special guest Cheap Trick.
Giving away Rod Stewart himself.
Lincoln got rid of that. Practice a long, long time ago of just giving people away.
Lincoln Riley?
Yes, oh, no, for
Abe.
Sure.
Abe, I got you.
So Rod Stewart with special guest Cheap Trick Friday, August 8th at Credit Union One Amphitheater out in Tinley Park. Tickets are at livenation.com. Be the number 6 caller to 312-540-0670 when you hear this.
You want my bar? I'm giving a chance. Come on, baby, let me know.
Is that Fat Bastard singing that? Is that who that is?
No, that's from So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Ah, okay. All right, I knew it was Mike Myers.
So it is Fat Bastard singing it. It's just not Fat Bastard singing it.
Mm.
Okay, so now to the Lincoln Riley stuff. You wanted to know whether Caleb had called Lincoln or Lincoln had called Caleb. What if I told you this soundbite from Caleb is not going to help you in that regard?
You deal with so many things going wrong in your first season here that you don't have any control over, you know, the two losses like this and the coaching change.
Yeah, you keep going. That's my mindset for just about anything. I called... Lincoln Riley called me the other day and just wanted to talk to me, check in and things like that. And it's something that he told me my freshman year when I wasn't in a position that I wanted to be in, which was I wasn't starting at the time. He told me to keep going. And at that time, I didn't necessarily know what those two words meant. I wanted more than that. I wanted to hear a little bit more than that, and that's all he told me. And I use those words, you know, to this day. Once I, you know, got the starting spot and I just kept working, kept going, that's all you can do. I mean, that's all we can do is keep going, keep our head down and find ways to win. And so we're going to keep doing that.
I didn't even catch that at the beginning. I called, you know, he called me. Yeah, that sounds like a guy who wants to make it clear he's not looking for help outside the Bears.
God, if you're listening, help!
Well, it was before he had this game and this experience with Thomas Brown.
I'm actually okay.
I don't mind that he. I don't mind that he calls his college coach, who he had great times with.
That's my mindset for just about anything. I called Lincoln. Lincoln Riley called me.
What are you going to do? Sometimes you need to get the help. I celebrated when Lucas Giolito called his high school pitching coach, Ethan Katz, when Don Cooper wasn't helping him with a damn.
Brother don't want the help. Brother don't get the help.
So, you know, if you got to go outside the house just for a little, at least a little conversation, I got no problem.
I'm okay with it, too.
But I am scared of the idea of Lincoln Riley as a head coach, though.
Especially when, like, the office of offensive coordinator at that point had kind of been abdicated.
Yeah.
If you're like, I could use a fresh pair of eyes, although I would have preferred, considering you didn't really have any conversations with Thomas Brown, could have had a little conversation with him. But get your confidence right. Hear from someone who has helped make you great, and go forth. I think it makes all the sense in the world to do, even though we're having a little fun with it.
Did you, in Brad Biggs' 10 thoughts, he went backwards a little bit and talked about the process by which they ended up on Shane Waldron. Did you get a chance to look at any of that?
I did.
And he makes the point of how in the offseason, how they interviewed 9 offensive coordinators and only gave one a second interview, and that was Shane Waldron. And he's the only one who came to Hallis Hall for a second interview, and then bing, bang, boom, he got the job. So he posits the arranged marriage needs to be something that you need to look into. But also just this, just the idea, how they didn't add a single coach during the offseason who had any experience developing a rookie quarterback. Not one. Waldron was never a quarterback himself, nor a quarterback guru. He wasn't a quarterback coach, except for 1 year where he did that in addition to being passing game coordinator. He was a tight end, a long snapper, and then a quality control coach, a tight end coach, and passing game coordinator. The only former quarterback in there, all the ones they hired, is Kerry Joseph. But like, they didn't bring in anybody who's a developer of quarterbacks. It's like the Ryan Poles plan, the Poles, Eberflus, Waldron plan was such a colossal failure. And there'll be time to kind of dissect it and think about it. And hopefully Caleb can recover from it. But it was just such a terrible plan. And did Caleb a disservice for 9 games, and did this season's team a disservice for 9 games?
You've heard me asking the question multiple times. What was this hiring like? How did they go about doing this? And it seems like they had another bad, and this wasn't supposed to be that, Spiegs.
It's supposed to be a really good calm process.
We gave you the Luke Getsy do-over. We gave you that because we understood the circumstances of it and that it probably was rushed. You didn't have to rush with this. You should have had your ducks in a row for this. So that goes as another mark against Eberflus and his boss.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. The fact that this hiring came out of that, and the fact that Eberflus came out of the Waldron interviews saying that as a leader, he's dynamic.
I don't know how you even believe that to be true. No. It's really, really messed up.
You don't.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Lance Briggs is going to join us. I just got a text back from Lance. He kind of wants to talk about Sunday over at the Ball Yard, not just the game, because there was some cool stuff that happened at halftime
cool.
that he was a part of. So we'll discuss all of those things with Lance Briggs next on The Score.